I'm Rob Fraley. I'm the Chief Technology Officer at Monsanto Company.
You have recently developed a relationship with Bill Nye, the science guy. Tell me the nature of this.
Well, it goes back actually a couple of years. I first met Bill Nye actually in New York when I was doing the IQ squared debate. I don't know if you remember that, but myself and Dr. Van Inenem debated two anti-biotech critics, and we had a great debate in New York, and we actually convinced the audience that that biotech and GMO crops were a good thing. And at the end of that debate, there were questions from the audience, and Bill Nye, who I immediately recognized because he is the science guy, asked some pretty tough questions, which kind of indicated he had concerns about biotech and GMOs. I was a bit aware of that because in the book he had written, Undeniable, his chapter on GMOs raised a number of questions on testing and safety. So I took the opportunity after the debate to meet with him and invite him to Monsanto. And to my surprise, a few months later, he showed up in St. Louis.
Where do you hope that this is going to go with Mr. Nye now?
Well, I think, it's already been pretty incredible because, Bill visited us in St. Louis. He came with just, lots and lots of questions, and we had him meet with our scientists, and we went through a lot of data. And I think he came away impressed with the testing, with the safety, and the benefits of the products. And he ended up rewriting the chapter in his book, and he basically said he was in love with GMOs, and as only Bill Nye can say. So that was the start of the relationship. And then a few months ago, when they were putting the Netflix program together, Bill called me and invited me to participate in the GMO discussion. And I took him up on that, and went out and we taped the program, and you saw that over the weekend, I'm sure. And I was really excited about the opportunity. The whole Netflix series is basically Bill in his unique style debunking a lot of the science myths around alternative medicine, around vaccines, and around GMOs. And I think it's exactly the kind of science dialogue that we need in order to be able to make decisions based on science, not just on internet rumors and myths. So I was delighted to participate. I thought the show was terrific, and I look forward to the opportunity to work on additional projects and address some of the misconceptions around the technology. I think at a on a on a higher level, there's so many incredible advances occurring in science, both the advances in biology, like GMOs, like gene editing that are impacting agriculture and medicine. And of course, I'm sure you're aware of all the incredible data science advances that are giving farmers new tools to make better decisions. I mean, clearly, there's a wave of new science innovations that are going to help farmers. And as farmers improve their yields and reduce their inputs, it's good for consumers and society. So, I really like the message that Bill has on debunking myths because I think this is an extraordinary time for science, and yet we know that people need great science communicators to both demystify and explain it so that they're in a better position to both understand and appreciate these advances.
What is your impression of how this episode went?
I thought it went great. I mean, obviously, Bill has a style that makes it fun and exciting. I think 30 minutes dedicated to a good discussion on GMOs is incredible. And I think, blending the hard science with the humor is key to communication. I think too many times in the past we've approached these discussions with facts and data and made it too complicated, and I think being able to communicate it both with emotion and passion is really really key. That's certainly something I've learned over the years, that it's the discussion on science isn't just a data driven discussion. People have emotions and concerns, and it's important that we address those as well. So I really like the style.
How far do you think this goes in perhaps swinging the pendulum? Because obviously we have heard a lot of negative talk about GMOs in the past. Do you feel that this is indicating a swinging of the pendulum the other way?
Yeah, I think it's part of that. In fact, if I looked back at the last year, I mean, not only, one of the participants was from the National Academy. The National Academy of Science in the U.S. is our most distinguished body, and the National Academy, spent 2 years reviewing all the data on GMOs and published last year the report that, basically, confirmed their safety and some of the benefits that the GMOs have had. I think that was a really important step. I think also having President Obama sign the food labeling bill will take a lot of the emotion and ensure that consumers have choice. And, I think also, we've seen a turning of the tide where, people realize that, science is important, whether it's making the right science decision on vaccines or understanding the reality of some of the alternative medicine claims or GMOs. So, I think there's a resurgence in the importance of understanding science, and that's certainly something that Bill Nye throughout his career has stood for, and I think it's one part of the messaging that helps turn the debate around these scientific advances and gives consumers a better understanding and appreciation.
Putting Bill Nye in the spotlight as far as the science march is concerned, as well as now getting GMOs on TV and putting them, so to speak, into the mainstream. What does this mean for GMOs and for science in general?
Well, I think it's a big step forward. And, I always like to make the point that when we talk about GMOs, we really live in a world today where GMOs have impacted many, many of our products and have benefited consumers in broad ways. While the discussion often focuses on GMOs in crops, the reality of it is that the GMO technology has dramatically changed human medicine. I always like to make the point that the first GMO ever introduced was the GMO for human insulin. And, diabetics now across the country and the world, get to benefit from, a genuine human insulin product produced, by a GMO in a laboratory and not having any of the side effects of the old product. So, and today, if you look at the world of medicine, nearly half of the new drugs, including some of the latest cures for cancer or arthritis, are all based on the GMO technology. And when you think about GMOs from a food source, the second GMO that was approved in the 1990s was the enzyme that we all use to make cheese. So, when milk gets converted to cheese, that's catalyzed by an enzyme that's now a pure, pristine GMO product. And, I could go on and on from all of the different ingredients in our food and beverages to, the use of DNA tests from everything from involvements in crime scene to understanding our heritage are all, GMO and biotechnology tools. So, we truly live in a GMO world, and they've helped improve both the quality of our lives and provided numerous health and economic benefits. So I hope this whole theme that Bill is developing to demyth some of the confusion on science. I think it's a great start, and I hope the series expands and continues. And I should add that, because I have had a chance to look at some of the social media, which has accused Bill of being a Monsanto shill. I have to, for the record, just tell you that Monsanto has never paid Bill Nye anything, and that Bill invited us to participate in the show, invited me personally, and I think it's really due to the fact that I helped invent GMOs back in the early 80s, and the products that we've launched for helping farmers reduce their weeds and insects have had an enormous benefit. GMO crops today are planted in over 30 countries. Here in the U.S., the vast majority of the corn, the soybean, and cotton acres, use the benefit of a GMO or biotechnology trait to help farmers improve their yields and control their pests. So, I think I'm a pretty logical choice to talk about the benefits of GMOs, and I really really appreciate Bill's invite.
On the other hand, there was also a nationally broadcast television show that brought up concerns of people that they are concerned about corporations patenting seeds. Mostly was the concerns. What reassurances can you give in response to that?
Well, I think a couple are really important. So first of all, biotech products in agriculture and pharmaceuticals and all other new inventions, part of the incentive for companies to make those long investments is that they get patent protection and can capture value, and so that's really been an important part of the innovation cycle, and it's really one of the reasons that the U.S. has been such an innovator in these development of these new tools. In exchange for the patents, one of the things that's important to realize is that we as a company have licensed the technology broadly, both the biotechnology traits and a lot of the breeding. Last time I checked, I think we've licensed the technology to over 200 companies around the world. So there's been broad access, and I think the other important part to add to the conversation is the patents eventually expire, and those products then are free for everyone to use. And we've worked with the ag industry, and particularly the American Soybean Association, so that those traits are available. So all in all, I think the patent system in the U.S. has been a model for intellectual property protection around the world. I think it's incented companies to be creative and take the long investments, and also that companies have used it responsibly to deliver value to farmers and consumers. I mentioned that I was one of the early inventors involved in the GMO technology. We made the first GMO plant in our laboratories in 1982, and then spent literally the next 15 years developing and testing the technology. And I really admire the fact that Monsanto as a company took a lot of risks, spent literally decades investing and developing this technology, before it was commercialized. And there's simply no way that that anyone could have done that, if there hadn't been the opportunity for patents and intellectual property protection.
Very good. Is there anything you'd like to add to this, sir?
No, I think I would just close by saying that You know, one of the things that, you know, that I have certainly learned over the years, both in my role and watching some of the conversation around GMOs, is that we recognize that it's really important to reach out to the public. And, you know, when I'm giving talks, I make the point that, you know, great science is essential to create a new product, whether it's a new life-saving drug or a new GMO product that helps increase yields and contributes to feeding the world and reducing the cost of food. You know, it's absolutely key. But I think one of the lessons we've learned that it's also essential that scientists are involved in the direct communication to the public. And that's not something that we historically did a very good job on. You know, we've realized that, and as a result of that, you know, we're being much more involved in the social dialogue. So, and part of that is showing up in the debates like IQ Squared, having the dialogue directly with the public, you know, participating with Bill Nye in his Netflix series, I think is key, and also being, you know, very involved in social media. So, you know, for the last several years, I've been involved in Twitter, writing articles for LinkedIn and the Huffington Post. If anybody wants to follow me out there, my Twitter handle is at Rob Fraley, R-O-B-B-F-R-A-L-E-Y, and I would just invite them to join the dialogue.